This is the world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
Our nation was founded on violence.
In 2010, you
were... I was scared, like, out of my mind scared.
I think it's sad. I think first, the decision by...
You may be witnessing history here.
Making it through a full 24 hours...
Hey, this is Charles Barkley. I'm a dumbass.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And we're through the looking glass we go every night and beyond, man, to go places actually where other talk shows can't go. They'd like to, but they can. Coming up this hour, Raj Fanin will join us, a businessman originally from the Middle East. And he will be talking to us about the Juan Williams caper, as we like to call him around here on the show, the NPR firing of Mr. Williams, the subsequent hiring of Mr. Williams, although he had been a news contributor there at Fox News. It would appear a much more expanded capacity awaits with a publicly revealed contract worth $2 million or so, we're told. Our affiliate spotlight tonight on WWRL 1600 in the great city of New York. And Brooksville, Florida, WWJB, 1450 AM. We appreciate all of these great stations on our network. PhilHendryShow.com, the strong right arm of the Phil Hendry Show, is where you can go right now to watch live streaming video of the show, live streaming audio of the show. And if you're lucky, there are nights when I have complete emotional meltdowns, start throwing things. Oh, it's great, man. It's uncensored. It's behind the scenes. It's in front of the scenes. It's PhilHendryShow.com. 877-876-PHIL. We can kill Hugo Montenegro now, bud. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Juan Williams, young Mr. Williams from NPR, who expressed an opinion that a great many people have said, wow, sounds pretty normal to me. I don't know how many of us have actually gotten on an aircraft with someone in Muslim garb. I have seen people stopped and searched. This was really funny to me because... It was not too long after 9/11. I was dropping my wife off at the airport. She was going to San Antonio for a political meeting. And she, because her name is Sanchez, was on a terror watch list. Now, there must be a Maria Sanchez on a terror watch list someplace who is a legitimate terror threat. But because of her name, she got stopped, too, while a lady with a hijab wrapped around her head. Man goes sailing right on through the line, no sweat. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not complaining here. I'm just wondering how they do these things. Anyway, that was what essentially Juan Williams was, the opinion he was expressing, that he's a little disquieted by the appearance of people in Muslim garb. Was he bagging on Muslims specifically, or was it a comment on the hijacking of that religion by extremists? Fox News host Bill O'Reilly continued to publicize the conservative crusade to defund NPR over the partly publicly funded radio network's controversial decision to fire Juan Williams for remarks made earlier in the week on the O'Reilly Fichter. NPR dismissed Williams, a longtime commentator who has written widely on civil rights issues, for confessing his personal skittishness over seeing fellow air travelers dressed in Muslim garb on O'Reilly's show. The irony, though, of course, is this. The cats that hijacked the aircraft on 9/11 were dressed probably in Dockers. Who knows? They sure as hell weren't wearing no... They didn't have no turban on. In any event, on Fox and Friends this morning, Juan Williams, who would qualify, I guess, as one of the friends... Juan Williams says, NPR, they shouldn't accept public funds.
If they want to compete in the marketplace, they should compete in the marketplace. They don't need public funds. Right. I think that they should go out there. If they think the product is so great, go out and sell the product. And what happens is, too often then, they want to make it out like, you know what, we are a public jewel, and we need the protection of the federal government. We need federal funds that come through the member stations, and they pay for this product. Nonsense. They are on the federal dole is what it is, and they better admit it and step up if they want to compete. But you know what? Without diversity of views, without diversity of people, I wonder if they would be so successful in the marketplace. I think they are very much speaking to an elitist crowd, and they have become self-righteous in their attitudes, and it's why they want to attack somebody like me. I have no idea why they're doing this.
Here is Representative Peter King, who ain't exactly the brightest bulb on the tree, but anyway, he argues NPR should not receive any public funding, so I guess that's kind of what Juan just said, but anyway.
There's a real question of whether or not the government should be involved in funding broadcasting anyway. And today, with so many media outlets, there's even more of a question if it's needed. But this case shows conclusively that the American taxpayers should not be subsidizing such a biased left-wing liberal apparatus. I would say the same thing if NPR was as conservative as they are liberal now, because to me, their real bias showed what Juan Williams said is what the overwhelming majority of Americans believe.
Okay, Raj Faneen is with us. There's so much to talk about, but Raj Faneen joins us, a businessman residing in the United States, a national of Egypt, and is here with his wife and his young son. And Raj, thanks for joining us this evening again on short notice, but I just wanted to talk to you about this because we've heard the American side, you know.
Well, I thank you. I think it's important, you know, and also because we've lived in this country for the period that we have this perspective, you know.
Now, you've heard the comments here about people in Muslim garb, and specifically Juan Williams' comments, that he feels disquieted, that he feels skittish, that it makes him nervous. Do you understand any of that?
I was, for the most part, disappointed that this was African-American, say, because, you know, this pastor, he worked for this Fox News. And now Fox News is conservative, and they have the right to be that. But the Mr. Juan Williams, he is a black man, and is not showing sensitivity, I think, for being persecuted, you know, as the Muslim people.
And you're saying that Juan Williams did not show a sensitivity as an African American?
Yes, that's right. As an African American, he should know more than anybody should know what the Muslim people, like myself, my wife, my son, what we must endure because of this kind of prejudice, you know. So it was very, very painful for me to hear, because it was like he betrayed me.
Do you feel that every black person in America has common cause with Muslims in this regard?
I think they should. I think they, every time a black man goes into a store, you know, they look and they, oh, what is the black man going to steal?
And you feel that that's how America is even to this day, in every quarter?
I think, yes, I think.
Do you feel that America...
Excuse me, let me finish you one comment at a time, please.
No, but I want to ask you, do you feel America has not improved?
Well, I've only been here for 3 years. But what I've seen, boy, I tell you, it's not good. You know, it's not encouraging because, you know, Juan Williams is a black man. And he's like, he's... you know, what they call Barack Obama, they call him the N-word, you know. And this Juan Williams should know this, but he's not. He's not.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to put out the call to have people call in. Raj?
Yeah, sure, of course.
And we'll also continue talking with you. 877-876-PHIL, talking here with Raj Faneen. All right, so you feel that it was a betrayal. You feel that...
it was a betrayal because he should know better than to take the side of the white man, you know?
Do you feel that the people who are opposed... do you feel everybody is a white man who would talk like that?
I think most people that talk like that... But look, I don't want to make this about the white or black, you know. I think in that case, he speak for the white man.
And who... What white man are you talking about?
The people at the Fox. That's the white man. You know, that's the white man. I think NPR is more of a black man.
Do you listen to NPR?
Excuse me? What did you say?
Raj, do you listen to NPR?
Yes, I do. I listen to NPR. I you know, I like to listen to NPR. But I have to tell you that Muslim people who dress in a traditional Muslim garb, if they dress in a traditional hijab, where a traditional Muslim god are looked upon as a terrorist and are looked upon as a danger, and it has affected my life and has affected my wife's life, has affected my son's life, so that we feel that we don't even live in a... I don't even feel I live in a country, you know?
Well, all right, let me ask you something. Let's... maybe we shouldn't talk about Juan Williams. Do you, when you get on an airplane, are you targeted as a Muslim by the airline? Do you feel unfairly targeted by security?
Well, no, I don't wear, you know, I don't wear this.
You don't wear traditional Muslim garb?
No, no.
Does your wife?
No. My wife does not wear hijab. My son does not.
Why is that?
Well, because it's mostly these people who, anybody who dressed this way, is what you say, is just off the boat. You know, this mostly a new immigrant. And I don't identify with them. And I am afraid of them. But I also don't want them to be persecuted by these, what sounds to me like a white man, and Juan Williams.
All right, now you just said something very interesting. You don't trust people in Muslim garb either, even though you're from the Middle East and you're Muslim.
That is correct, yes.
Why is that?
Well, the people wear this Muslim garb are just, to use the phrase that you use, just off the boat, you know.
They're recently arrived immigrants?
Yes, they're recently arrived immigrants. So they would most likely be the one who would blow a plane to bits or something. And so, yes, I am nervous. But also, I see them as to be persecuted, you know, because they look, you know, different. Some people think they look stupid. And that nobody, for instance, will ever say to a Hindu, you know, you look very strange, with a dot in, you know, your forehead, or you have your Hindu, you know, you've got a Hindu, you know, on your head. But
see, what you're saying is this is one of the things I think that causes a problem in our country. You don't think that the people wearing the Muslim garb should be persecuted, and yet you call them people who are just off the boat and the ones that are most likely going to cause a terrorist problem.
Oh, yeah, sure. I don't think anyone's going to disagree with that. You know,
and yet they should not be harassed or otherwise bothered.
Well, to the extent that you are going to protect from a terror, of course they would, you know. But Juan Williams to look at them and say, this is a terrorist, that is wrong, because that is the way the establishment would think. And Juan Williams is a black man, and that is also, you know, to me, he sold us out.
Yep. So Juan Williams sold out people of the Islamic faith, people of color, by saying what he said, and also the people who wear that garb should not be persecuted, but also their recently arrived immigrants who are suspect.
Right.
All right. Can you see how this is confusing?
No. And let me tell you why, Phil.
No, but you can see how it confuses me, right, or other Americans?
No. And I'll tell you why. The American people have spent enough time now being educated on the conditions of the Middle East, and this is something now they must understand. There's no more time to hold your hand.
Well, how are you holding my hand? I want to understand how it is that I'm supposed to first fear people who wear Muslim garb because they're just off the boat and most likely to commit a terror attack, and at the same time, not, quote, persecute them. All I want to do is have a realistic view of what's going on.
That is exactly correct.
So you tell me that the guy that's most likely going to commit a terrorist act is wearing Muslim garb because he's just off the boat, but for me to express that fear, or Juan Williams, which is worse, is wrong.
Well, Juan Williams is a black man, and for him to do what he did, you can't, there's no, you can't crawl any lower than that, you know. As a white man, sure, you know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. So Raj Faneen joining us here. Pardon me, I didn't mean to hang up. I'm not hanging up, but I I'm a little, understand, he's saying that a traditional Muslim garb that Juan Williams was talking about is worn by people that are, quote, just off the boat, end quote, and therefore more likely to be terrorists. But the opinion that Mr. Williams expressed is still offensive. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show, back right after this.
Phil Henry.
You understand?
No, I don't.
Okay, let me go through it again. If you get off the boat...
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And we're here with Raj Fanin joining us, talking about this incident with Juan Williams, where he lost his position with National Public Radio, saying, in a general, I'm just paraphrasing, that when he saw fellow air travelers dressed in Muslim garb, he was skittish, he was nervous, he was, you know, he feared a terror attack. Raj Fanin joins us, a native of Egypt, a resident of the Los Angeles area with his wife and his son. We're still Egyptian national, right, Raj?
Yes.
All right. Now, the question is, and we'll get to some phone calls from me, is the following question. You know, you were telling me that a white man being scared of a Muslim in traditional garb is racist and immoral. But you are also scared of a Muslim in traditional garb. But you don't call that immoral. Why?
Look, you know, Phil, the white man to be scared of a Muslim in traditional garb is racist and immoral because you don't know the Muslim. And I should not even say the white man. I mean the Western man, you know.
Well, you're making it about race because of Juan Williams.
Only because I would have expected more from Mr. Williams being... the NPR and being a black, you automatically expect that he's going to, you know, he's going to know what to say. And he was obviously confused. But you don't know the Muslim experience. I know the Muslim experience because I grew up among them. I lived among them. I know them. So I'm scared.
Well, why can't I take your fear and I say, well, if you're scared, I'm scared?
Because I don't want you to. I'm a Muslim, I am not American, and I don't want you piggybacking your fear on mine because that makes me look like I'm... there's a phrase you use in this country, which I don't think is... but it's sucking up to the man, you know? It makes me look like I'm sucking up to the man.
It makes you look like you're sucking up to the man if I let you be... Boy.
No. If you are afraid of a Muslim and you say the reason why I'm afraid of the Muslim is because Raj is afraid of a Muslim. I'm afraid of a Muslim because of, I know the people. Do you know this term, hayseed, that you have in this country?
Do I know the term of what?
Do you know this term of hayseed?
Hazy?
Hayseed.
Hayseed?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I know that term, yeah.
That's what we have in Muslim. We have hillbilly. We have a hayseed. And this hillbilly come over and he, right off the boat. And he looks the way he looks. And I know he is mostly not very smart. But I also know he is capable because you can exploit them.
877-876-PHIL. I've got so many questions, but I will keep them in reserve. Here is Azra. Azra, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Raj Fanin. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, Phil. Good morning to both of you gentlemen.
And good morning.
My question to you, Mr. Azra, I'm a Muslim myself.
Yes,
I just want to ask you one simple question. If you are offended by a comment from a black person saying he feels uncomfortable, which is, in my opinion, he does have a right to express his opinion, you live in a free society. Why is it racist when he says it, but it's not racist for you to be a Muslim to say you feel uncomfortable to see a Muslim person in a Muslim guard to be in a plane with you? What is so different from what you say and what he says?
Well, because first, Juan William is a black man, you know, and for me that was shocking, you know, American black man to say I am, you know, I am afraid of a Muslim.
Well, that's a little confusing. Why would, suppose it was a white man?
If the white man, I'd say he's a racist because white America is a racist, you know. Now, you ask me why it's not racist for me. You know as well as I do that these hillbilly come over, you know, as I said to Mr. Henry. And they are the people most likely to be exploited, yes.
Mr. Watt, I think
yes,
if you look at through the whole history, even in 9/11, the people who attacked the United States in 9/11, none of them were wearing a Muslim guard. That's number
one.
That
was what I said. Yeah. Yeah.
Number two, you need to understand, by you coming from a Muslim country, to be given an opportunity to come in a national radio station.
Tell you what, Azra, hold the line. Hold on, Azra. We'll be right back. I have to take a break.
I want to answer this man.
Oh, hold on. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Raj Faneen joining us as we talk about Juan Williams and the NPR, getting fired from NPR only to be hired at Fox because he said, and we roughly quote, he felt skittish on an aircraft while looking at people in Muslim garb. Now, Juan Williams is a news analyst. He's not a reporter. He's a news analyst. And I don't know whether that's a fancy term that NPR uses to confuse the idea of being a commentator as opposed to an analyst, as opposed to a reporter. I personally don't think there's a difference between analyst and commentator. An analyst and a commentator are basically the same. And their firing of Mr. Williams appears to some people to be hypocritical, to be an attack on you talk about First Amendment, it looks like it's an attack to me on his job description. It's like, here's the job I hired you to do. You just did your job. You're fired. Raj is with us, and we also had Azra hanging on the line, who I accidentally hung up on him. Azra, you still there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, and Raj?
Yes, sir. And can I comment on something you said?
Go ahead.
You can have all this free speech, and I believe in free speech. Muslims believe in free speech, but you're gonna start talking about putting my wife in a bag. You know
what do you mean, your wife in a bag?
The burqa, you know.
All right. Azra, go ahead, sir. You make your comment.
Mr. Raj. The burqa, you know more than I do. The burqa is not a Muslim traditional dress for a female. That's a culture dress. There are two different things between what the religion obligated you to do as a follower and what the culture forces you to follow as from being from that culture. And you know as well as I do, in Egypt, in many other Muslim countries, you don't see women wearing the burqa, except in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
No, that's what I said. You know, it's mostly these hazy, like I said, they call it hillbilly.
Mr. Rod, listen. If you sound like an educated person, when you take your oath to become a citizen of the United States, one of the obligations you have, you take an oath and you pledge allegiance to this country. For you to come to a national radio station and bash your own race, there's no difference between you and the white man that you describe that is hateful towards the Muslims. The Americans have the right to feel uncomfortable because of what happened in September 11. In order for Muslims like yourself and myself to change the view of the American people, we have to put into a table and to prove that not all of the Muslims are terrorists. What you're doing is a wrong approach to make
All I said was if you have your wife wear a burqa, you are a hillbilly. You agree with that, though?
No.
A hillbilly.
Listen. You don't see a Muslim female in a burqa in the United States. We are talking about
what happens in the United States. That's right.
Okay.
But you do see the hijab. You see a hijab.
If your wife wears a hair scarf, there are so many new styles in the hair scarf that females can wear.
Hillbilly. Right. But it's still hillbilly.
Wait a minute. I want to go. Is the hijab you see, Raj, as a hillbilly thing?
I think so, yeah.
That is also not
religiously mandated.
Mr. Raj,
that is
Mr.
a
Raj,
choice.
Here's what I'm going to tell you, Mr. Raj. I have lived in this country for a long time, and I have served in Iraq in three terms as a part of Iraqi Operation Freedom. And here's what I'm telling you.
Well, you
have a right to feel uncomfortable. You, as a Muslim, being from a different part of the world, it's a shame on you to say you feel uncomfortable when you see your fellow Muslim brothers coming over in a plane. If you yourself, you feel uncomfortable, you're doing it just you want to fit in. That's not the way you want to fit in. Be proud where you come from. You want to do good.
It's like this. When I went down to because you are not, you don't understand something about America that I'm going to tell you. Mr. Hendry says to me that he went to Louisiana one time and he went to Delacroix and there was Cajun people there. And Mr. Hendry, didn't you say you were afraid of deliverance, man? Take your pants off.
No, I didn't say that. No, I did not say that. I said the hillbillies down there, it reminded me of that movie Deliverance, yeah.
Okay, it's the same thing when I see this hillbilly come over from Afghanistan.
Mr. Raj, listen to yourself. If you watch the news,
my son wanted to know why you call me Mr. Raj, my son.
Okay.
You call me Mr. Fanin.
Fine. Go ahead.
Listen, there was a Navy SEAL, I believe his name was Mansoor. He was a Muslim. His unit got attacked by a hand grenade. He threw his body onto the hand grenade to save the other fellow comrades. He was a Muslim too. Guys like him proved to the United States that not all of the Muslims are terrorists. Guys like you.
No, that's a great story.
Guys like you, pretty much.
Are you sure he was Muslim?
Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala Muhammad. Of course, I'm a Muslim.
Are you a Muslim? Was this man in the Navy SEAL a Muslim? Are you sure?
Yes, he's sure.
I didn't ask you
if you were a Muslim. I asked if the man in the Navy SEAL was a Muslim.
He said he was a Muslim. Yes.
He was a Muslim. Go on the news, check it out. His family got awarded a Medal of Honor.
The Medal of Honor. Yeah. We can look that up. The Medal of Honor.
Okay, so he got the Medal of Honor. So he took the Infidel's Medal and...
Let's watch this with the Infidel thing, okay?
Listen to me.
We got to take a break.
Yeah, you need to take a break. And all I'm trying to say is, and this man... If you see a hillbilly coming down the road, you aren't afraid.
What is with this hillbilly thing, man? So, in other words, anybody in a burqa is a hillbilly.
Yeah.
You need to get your facts straight. Be proud of your where you come from.
All right. Yeah, Ezra, I got to take a break. I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL with Raj Fanin as we talk about Juan Williams and NPR. That man, and by the way, let's see if our producer, Jason Rantz, I don't think we have that information.
But the only way to keep America from being fearful of you and me is to stop looking like Juan Williams from going on television talking down about a Muslim, you know? Can we agree on that? Would you agree on that for Americans from being fearful of you and me?
What do you mean Americans being fearful of you and me? What are you talking about?
Because of people like Juan Williams.
Oh, did you mean me?
Well, listen to you, man. Me? No, I meant Muslims. And I meant the... Is the man gone?
Yes, he's gone.
Oh, I meant him. But if we stop Juan Williams from going on the television and talking this crap about me and the Muslim, then we are well ahead of the game.
That guy that was just on, Mr. Finine, was saying that when you refer to fellow Muslims as hillbillies, okay, you're talking down about those people, and that's not cool.
I don't care what's cool. I want... He may not think it's cool, but you told me that if you were in a bar with those deliverance guys, you'd be walking out with a frying pan covering your rear end. Didn't you say that?
I didn't say that for broadcast. Yeah, I said that.
You put a frying pan over your butt.
Okay, and the point is what?
That's what I was trying to say to that guy. Every time.
So when you go see some cat in a burqa coming out of the hills of Afghanistan or wherever, Syria, he's just, you might as well be looking at a bunch of guys. That's like the Middle East version of deliverance.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Fine. 877-876-PHIL. Oh, my God. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We got a Dr. Green Thumb report coming up, too, and Lindsay Lohan is ordered to stay in rehab. Only she can't afford it. Phil Henry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Sunday Night Phil is Sunday night, 3 hours of classic Phil Henry on our website, philhenryshow.com. So you can tune in to our Sunday Night Phil on the web. So go over to our website, philhenryshow.com, or you can listen to it remote. If you've got, even on the iPhone, you can log in using your password and using your username. And while you're cruising around on your iPhone, listen to Sunday Night Phil on our website, philhenryshow.com. It's 3 hours of archived classic material that we bust out every Sunday night. And, hey, you know what? It beats like 80% of the TV you're going to be watching. 877-876-PHIL. And this is like I was just saying to you guys, I'm going to do a website, you know, where what is it, news or isn't it news, or, you know, what's going on, man? What's a new way of attacking things? You know, what's a new way of approaching things, okay? And I know I got Robert and Bud with me here. We're going to do the news hour next hour, but you guys can chime in on this if you want. Calvin Klein jeans ad banned in Australia for suggesting rape. Now,
That looks like they're all on it.
Yeah, Bud.
Yeah, it's an ad, and it shows a woman. And there's one, two, three guys that are near a chain link fence. And one guy's got his pants unbuttoned halfway down his ass. And another guy she's laying on top of him. And yeah, it looks like they're attacking this chick out in the open. And I think she's nude from the waist down. Can you tell, Bud?
Yeah, it looks like there's no underwear on.
Thank you.
Let me see.
There.
Yeah, I would agree.
Thank you. All right, so yes, the ad does suggest some kind of forcible sex. Now, there's a difference between rape and just rough sex. This looks like rape, and so therefore it's violent. You know, it's not just sex. It's not even sex. It's an act of violence. That's what rape is, a violent act. You know, people don't even know what rape is. Nobody knows what rape is. Even some women who've maybe even experienced it don't really know that it's an act of pure, sheer. There's no sex urge having to do with rape. It has to do with violence. So it's against the law, and it's an illegal thing. But we've seen ads where they show a guy robbing a bank. We've seen ads where a guy's speeding. We've seen ads where people may even be using drugs as a way of, you know, getting kids not to use drugs. We've seen all kinds of ads that suggest all kinds of things. Now, I look at this and I hear an increasingly strident group of voices saying, oh, we can't have this, we can't have that. We shouldn't have this, we shouldn't have that. And look at that ad's got that and that ad's got that. And I know that I have come out against any ad that shows kids in sexually compromised or suggesting sex, which I still do because we got to protect kids. But these are adults, and this is an adult act. There is still a victim, and we have to protect women. But here's what I'm saying: rather than ban the ad, rather than ban the ad, and maybe this is true of any Calvin Klein, who this guy's got to have a screw loose anyway, this Klein, but I guess he knows how to get people to talk about his jeans, huh?
Yeah, but my understanding is, ain't he gay?
Why do you say that? On account of he makes jeans and everything?
Yeah.
Well, so he's a designer, he's got to be gay, huh?
Yeah, well, I'm not saying every designer, but ain't he?
But I don't know, man. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, he is.
Do you know that, bud?
Well, is he a designer of jeans? Yes, he is. He's gay.
Do you know that for a fact?
Yeah, do you know that?
Yeah, I'm going to go out and say he's gay.
Well, what difference does that make anyway? I'm talking about, why did we even get sidetracked on that? I'm talking...
Because I'm right and you just want to blow past it.
Okay, let's... Hey, way to go, man. You guessed it, Calvin Klein's gay. And that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Anyway, why even ban the ad? I'm getting so tired of ban this, ban that, take that off the billboard, don't do this. Why not have a brisk discussion open to the public, right out in the open, about what a degenerate and trashy and despicable way to advertise your product it is? Go ahead, put it up on a billboard. I think it's great. Why ban it?
Yeah, but I mean, some guy gonna think, hey, look at that, man. I think I'm going to get me some of that, you know, and maybe be the same way.
Not if the culture, not if the discussion at large is about what a degenerate and despicable ad it is.
Yeah, but then you're going to have people defending it, too.
Fine. Let them defend it. I mean, what happens is this, man. You know, we ban something, and then we have a discussion about it after the fact, and people don't even know what the hell it is we're talking about. Most of the time, the item that people don't like, if it's not banned, we suddenly realize, wow, it really wasn't as bad as we thought it was. It really wasn't as disgusting as we thought it was. It really wasn't as... So, you know, I've got 180 degrees on this, man. In my opinion, if you have an ad from Calvin Klein that shows little kids in underwear in sexually suggestive poses, I say, go ahead and keep the ad, although I don't know. Probably legally you can't do it because you're using minors in an ad that is... sexual, but if there was a way, let him put the ad up. Let Calvin Klein in all of his glory show this degenerate sensibility he has when it comes to his clothing. Go ahead, man. I mean, it's good. You know?
Yeah, but like Robert was saying, the people are going to want to, you know, look at kids with their pants off and stuff.
I what do you mean they're going to want to?
Because they'll be influenced by it.
Oh, get out of here, will you, man? A healthy person's going to look at that and say, well, that's a pretty sad thing, man, using kids that way. A healthy person's going to look at this Calvin Klein's ad and say, that looks to me like there's dudes that are forcing sex on that woman. That's not really right, you know? And on a talk show, of course, we can say that Calvin Klein is a sick, twisted queer. Now then.
Oh, man, you're going to be in trouble for that.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding around. Well, I'm not. I mean, I'm not. You know what I mean.
No, man, you better apologize for that.
Apologize for what?
Call him sick and twisted.
Oh, okay. I apologize. You know what I'm talking about, all right? So, the ad, which features supermodel Laura Stone and three men in various states of undress, had received more than 50 complaints as well as criticism from women's advocates who claimed it promoted gang rape and violence, according to this New Zealand paper or this Australian paper, calling the campaign highly sexualized and clearly suggestive of sexual behavior. Well, that wouldn't be bad if it wasn't the fact that it was rape. Who cares if it's highly sexualized or suggestive of sexual behavior? That in and of itself is another that's a completely different discussion.
But what are you talking about? You saying it's okay if it's sex?
That's a different discussion, man. That's a different discussion. The discussion we're having right now is this looks like it's three men attacking a woman.
Yeah, but ain't that sex?
What did I just get done telling you idiots? No, it ain't. It's violence. The board considered that whilst the act depicted could be consensual, the overall impact and most likely takeout is that the scene is suggestive of violence and rape. The board considered that the image was demeaning to women by suggesting she's the plaything of these men. So I think you got to stick with the rape thing, okay? Whatever the hell this board is, the Women's Jackball Committee. Stick with the rape. Stick with what is the most obviously destructive aspect of this thing. So I think they had to keep the billboard up and let people talk about it. I mean, it would be nice if people were saying, boy, Calvin Klein, you're a sick ass. And suddenly Calvin Klein, he don't feel so hip anymore. Clinical psychologist and sex abuse worker Allison Grundy told the Herald Sun that the ad was clearly intimating gang rape. If we continue to subject future generations of young men to great barrages of aggressive, misogynistic, over-sexualized, and violent imagery in pornography, movies, computer games, and advertising, we continue to see the rates of sexual violence against women and children that continue unabated today or worse. And, man, I sure don't buy that argument that the images in society create criminal behavior. I think criminal behavior is created in different ways, not some freaking advertisement on TV. But anyway, I think Dr. Stone would agree with this lady.
Yeah, well, Dr. Stone said that they're more psychopath and everything on account of drug.
Yeah, he didn't say nothing about TV shows. I don't think he said anything about TV shows. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, and of course, our website, philhendryshow.com. Some dude showed up at a Obama rally today. He was a stage worker. He was the member of a union, and the Obama rally was being televised, and so he was a part of a TV stage crew that was setting up things for the Obama rally. He was wearing a sweatshirt that had the name of his son's ship on it, the ship that his son is currently serving on in the United States Navy. When the union chief saw the sweatshirt that the father was wearing with the son's ship's name on it, he told the guy to go home and take it off or he's fired. What was on this guy's sweatshirt? We'll find out when we come back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.